You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Michael James Scott on Spotlight, The Red Pilling of America. You're listening to You Can't Say That on the Broadway Podcast Network.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important. You is dead. Tanya Pinkin's horror film, Red Pill, brings African-American perspective to progressive movement.
We are a majority in this country. And we're going to win the election.
Do you know what the red pill is? A red pill is someone who infiltrates a group and then destroys them from the inside. This place is spooky.
Some people like to live dangerously.
Gaz, why are you so jumpy tonight?
You know what, guys? I'm gonna go back tomorrow.
Did you hear about the creature woman that attacked a father and son hunting down here?
I don't see the case. This place creeps me out.
I think we should call the sheriff's office.
The only people missing or dead are brown people.
They're after all of us.
What do we do, Amelia?
We die. But we take some of them with us.
It takes all kinds. It really does. We do need to hear all of the craziness and all of the logic and all of that. We need to kind of have just a better, wider understanding of things because knowledge is power, right? Like, even if it's crazy knowledge, it's still knowledge. You're like, oh, I learned something here. And I at least see why you think this or why you feel this or how you got brought up to believe this thing. You know, like, I think I just always get so nervous when people are like, I don't listen to Fox News and I don't look at any of these things. And you're like, so you just don't know what the people that you're fighting against are believing, right? Thinking, talking about, lying to each other about, whatever. Like, you just don't know what's going on. Then how can you fight? How can you make any change? How can you strategize?
It's beyond important to do. I'm like, if I'm not looking at that as well, so that I understand, you know, because it's, you're trying to, it's very hard to try and, like, you know, you can have all the conversations you want with people who are like-minded as you, right? And there's a general understanding and all of that. But then that's really it. So it's kind of like, well, how do we move forward? Because the idea would be that whether it's, because I am not I don't believe I can change anyone. I can give out what I put out, but I definitely have, especially in the now, knowing how extreme the sides are, or whatever it is, there's no way I'm really going to change someone's opinion on literally right from wrong. Like, I don't really understand how we're having this debate, but okay.
But you know what? The algorithm can change people. At this point, our technology has hacked us and understands how we work as a
true
piece of technology better than we understand ourselves.
Very
true. It can
true
predict at about a 98% accuracy what your next decision is going to make. The algorithm can look at your last six decisions and predict what's going to happen in your life. And because the algorithm is driven by capitalism, the algorithm is changing people's minds every day in the service of someone making more money. So you and I personally can't change somebody, but I think we've reached this point that what I haven't seen talked about very publicly in mainstream media, where we as a community of people on the planet must get control of the algorithm so that it is no longer serving interests that are against our humanity.
Which means voting out the motherfuckers that are currently there, especially the dinosaurs who don't even fucking understand how social media works. Like, I just always go back to when they were questioning the guy who runs Facebook, whatever his name is, Demon Man. They literally were like,
Mark Zuckerberg.
So, yeah, how do you run this Facebook? How do you make money? And he's like, the ads, the thing that we're here to talk about is the ads and like the marketing and the stuff. Like, they have no concept of how this works. And like all of our laws or regulations around the internet were like written back right when it began, like right totally. When it became popular. And it has, if you talk to anybody who's in technology or in social media, if you watch The Social Dilemma, whatever, there's a couple of TED Talks that are out there talking about how technology has moved exponentially. Like, if you look at the graph from, like, you know, 1975 or whatever to now, it's like doodly doodly do. Whoa! It like has shot up. And so, like, I think actually on that the podcast, was it Heather Cox or that you were talking about, Tanya? Is that her name?
Heather Cox Richardson.
Cox Richardson. She was talking about like the Wild West of it, right? Like when we're in a new territory, which we are in a wildly new territory with the way that we are able to connect with each other, the algorithms, all of that. And it's fully unregulated at this point. Like we are in the Wild, Wild West. And so everything is going to be destruction and chaos and craziness for a while, which it is, right? And it's super harmful. And we're seeing that now, but it takes longitudinal tests and things like that before we can like conclusively say, oh, this is a problem. We're getting to that point now, but everything's moving so fast that it's sort of like outside of our range of like, how do we do this? The only way that I can see to do it is to somehow move all of the old white men out so that we have people who are making laws and regulations about this wild, wild west territory that we're in that actually understand and even maybe use the mediums that they're trying to like regulate.
On a deeply spiritual level, I don't believe we can create anything that we are not. So there's a spiritual level in which I believe we have the capacity to do everything our technology can do, but we are not choosing to live at that capacity. Like I listen to podcasts, I have to speed them up. It's just going too slow. And I can listen to two different podcasts at the same time. You know, I can be so like the being that we are has this ability to take in so much more than we credit it for doing. We just aren't pushing ourselves to do that. And the culture doesn't push us to do that. I mean, we don't have an education system that tells, you know, children that you can read, you know, your eyes can see an entire page at once. You don't have to read line to line. You can go and take in a whole page and get the information from a page. Your eye can do that. We're not even trained to use this instrument that we have in the best way possible.
That is just, did y'all see the use? There's the Social Dilemma, then there's the other one too.
Agents of Chaos.
Yes. But we just saw those a little bit ago and I was like, oh God. Like, oh God. oh my Lord. I mean, it's just, it's mm-hmm. also stuff that I've known for a while. Like I understand it. I understand, like, you know, the algorithm rhythm of it all. And like, I absolutely understand it. However, it's just really, it's scary because it's getting more and more. And it, as you said, Sierra, it's unprecedented. Like we're in crazy uncharted territory. Like we mm-hmm. are truly in the Wild Wild West. It's,
But we're not.
There
are people who do understand it, and it could be used to serve us. Yes. It's just not.
Yes.
I'm in Korea, which America thinks of as, like, you know, they're backwards. They have the same surveillance technology that we have in America. The difference is they have used that surveillance technology to track anyone who has come down with COVID to every place they went and every human being they came in contact with. And so anytime you go into Starbucks and somebody at Starbucks gets COVID, you've written everything down and they track you. And then they send you you get text messages all day long. The 127th person in this neighborhood came down with COVID. They were in a Starbucks. They went in, they didn't have a mask on. 4 people got it, 26 did not. When they left there, they went to the gym. They came into contact with 400 people. We have that technology. We're just not using it on behalf of the people. So in this country of 50 million people, less than 500 have died of this illness.
Yeah.
I always find it really funny when people are like, you can't be watching me. Don't watch me. Don't, you know, when they also still use social media, which means you are being watched and every move is honestly you're being puppeted then in that respect, like we all are. But they're like, you can't watch me, blah, 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 blah. And like, to an extent, I understand, obviously. But to the other extent, I'm like, your life is boring. Most of our lives are really boring, guys. Like, the government doesn't actually care what the F you're doing. They don't care. They don't care. You know, like, I love those, like, funny memes where they're like, I've been talking to the CIA agent in my laptop screen or who's watching me or whatever. It's like, that's not happening, though, honestly, because they don't care. Like, what do you think that you are doing in your life that's so, like, you know, would raise so many alarms? Like, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing that's so cool?
Well, I got banned from Twitter for a week because I was making a joke, and I could have said it in a different way, but I didn't realize that there, you know, the censorship thing was so strong now. So I saw a post about a man who went into a hospital without a mask, screaming, "Where are the sick people?" And then he began confronting teenagers without wearing a mask. And so I wrote, someone should have beat his ass. And I've gotten banned for a week.
Oh my God.
Now, if I said whoop his behind, that might have been okay. But because I said beat his ass, I got banned for a week. That's violence. I'm inciting violence, I guess.
Meanwhile,
that's so funny.
Cut to, you know, like full on leadership. And full on, like that had not only been inciting violence, like, I mean, it's all right there. The actual leaders of the states. I mean, like, that's just unbelievable.
That's also just like, that is such a, like, that's just like a Black community thing. Like, you say beat his ass, that's just like what your mama says. Like, I'm gonna beat your ass if you don't sit down and listen to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like, I want to bloody you until you... I don't want to cut you up like the Saudis do. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Right. Right.
So you just sort of said, I want to hit his booty.
Smack down behind.
The algorithm isn't culturally proficient.
Oh, no. It's made by white people for white people. You know, F, man. Yeah, it's a fine line, I guess, between like trying to shut down scary things and then like also just actually just censoring people and not being able to have like comedy or, you know.
Right, what is humor? And the algorithm doesn't understand humor in a certain sense.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Well, it's like, that's like, you know, I think that, you know, us having like comedy, all of the, like, you know, the satire, all that, I believe it's very important. I still think that it is like, you know, we should still be living in a time where that should be happening and that it is absolutely needed. And we're in this fine line of people not, you know, people being offended by it, which that's fine that you're offended by it. But I also am like, how do we not, like, it's satire. Like, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't that be a part? It's so important to be a part of our culture. All of that. Like, that's actually some of the most brilliant writers, I mean, comedians in general, you know, like, let's really be real. Like, that, if we didn't have that, we would have missed out on some pretty incredible artists. Like, and truly, like, for us to sort of, like, you know, understand what that means. I've learned a lot through satire as well, mm-hmm. you know, as mm-hmm. just as a person, and not even as an artist, but like just as a person, and seeing somebody's brilliance being written out or whatever as satire. And so it's a very fine line with that.
Did you guys see the SNL with Adele?
I missed it. I didn't get to see it.
You should watch it. Some of it was really good. Some of it was like meh, as per usual with SNL. And then there was this one sketch that apparently everyone was up in arms about that I found to be horrifying and hilarious. But it was like Adele and Kate, is that her name?
Kate McKinnon.
The really funny one. Oh my god.
Yeah, McKinnon. So
funny. And another white woman. It was all these like white women talking about like the big bamboo in Africa. Like once you get divorced as a 35 or 40 year old white woman, go to Africa and there will be big bamboo for you and things for you to, and there's like, you know, sexy black men walking by like holding up white women or whatever. And it's like, the hilarity of it is like, I'm sure that there's like, you know, some truth to it, but also it's like, it's fucked up. And that's what's funny. And the whole time Adele is like, like trying to not laugh the whole time. And she's just like, this is so awful and it's so fucked up. And it's super, like, I found it to be really hilarious. And I also understood that, like, this is fucked. It's not, right. They're not glorifying it. You know what I mean? It's funny because it's fucked. And I was like, and that's SNL, right? Like, that's the whole point. And people were so mad about it. They're like, you know, you're not valuing black men. And I was like, yeah, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
You know, like, it's tough.
Yeah, I really think that the best art, people both love it and they hate it. Like, that's mm-hmm. the best. It just makes you feel something. I don't want my art to be tepid where you're just like, I don't know.
Right. I want you to numbing, something that numbs you out, which is a lot of what we have. You know, it's just kind of like, it's formulaic, it's predictable, which can feel very comforting. And I think that, like, to an extent, like, cool, we should have some of that. Like, we need that. That's valuable. But like, if 90% of what we create out there or what is pumped into the public view is formulaic, predictable, easily consumable, one kind of demographic, or, you know, or each demographic exactly how they're always, you know, stereotyped or represented or whatever, that's when we get into the issues, which is why I'm so glad that you were making your film, Tanya.
Well, yes.
I will say this, as I'm at the part where I'm finishing my film, mm-hmm. and I realized that I have this canvas, and that for the 90 minutes that I have an audience, you have their attention. Mm-hmm. They've paid and you have their attention. And as I'm doing my end titles and my credits, and all of you will be listed in the credits participating in the spotlights, I realized that I could put anything on that canvas I want. And so one of the things I said to my producer, I wanted to end the last credit on the screen, is that this film was shot on the ancestral lands of the Lenni Lenape Mohican people, whose ancestors were the Natikoki people. And this was their homeland for 10,000 years before the European colonials came in and stole their lands and genocided them. And they did not even get citizenship in their own homeland till this year. And they didn't get the right to practice their religions until this year. And I was like, that's the last statement that you will see on the screen. Wow. For my film. And my producer, who is a direct descendant of the Pilgrims, she wrote to me and she said, well, do we have to say European? Can't we just say colonial? And I was like, they weren't from Asia. They weren't from Africa. They weren't from the Middle East.
Right.
But that I get to put that up there. And you think of the 100 years of cinema, how many wonderful messages or empowering things could have just been put on a screen for someone to see. And so I'm like, I'm going to take that opportunity. I'm going to take that opportunity to put something positive for a community that really gets very little voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I love that you're good. That's pretty powerful to put that at the end of that, just the acknowledgement of it all, because it speaks very true to, you know, the thing that we that so many people don't talk about. They don't put, you know, they don't honor that. And so that's pretty powerful that you're doing that.
Yeah. I truly did not understand. Like, I'm still learning. I think ever since, like, the Dakota Pipeline thing started, I've been learning, like, about, because, you know, we're all in our own individual experiences here, right? Because it's capitalism and we're supposed to be individuals and whatever. And so, like, I have in some ways lived in my own individualistic bubble and, like, also been dealing with oppression on different fronts. And so that puts me in a survival mentality and makes it harder for me to see outside of myself, right? Like, I have empathy when I am able to see outside of myself, but it's hard for me to even just see outside of myself. And so I think I've been really learning about, you know, Indigenous people and just different cultures that I don't net, like, I am actually bloodline a part of, but, like, don't know anything about, you know? And, like, truthfully, TikTok has been one of the most educational things for me. I started following, you know, native content creators, and the stuff that you learn about, you know, like you said, like, the people are just now getting rights, like, just human rights for things, and, like, just now finally, or not at all, right? And there's no protections, and, like, COVID is rampant and they're not being taken care of. And there's, like, one hospital for, like, thousands of miles and, like, all, you know, all these things I had no idea about.
And North Dakota just voted that, just passed a law that you cannot vote if you don't have a residential address. And on the res in North Dakota, they use PO boxes. So that just wiped out the entire,
exactly. I had no clue. You know, there's always so much more to know and to learn. And I think that is the beauty of, like, social media and the internet, is, like, that we have the capability to learn these things. The the downfall is that, like, the human instinct is A, for survival and likeness, right? And then B, we are being guided to the things that, you know, are easiest for us to consume because we want to spend the most time on that. It's just easier, right? It's easier to just see things like yourself. Go ahead.
But I think that's the responsibility of being human. I think that we were given a consciousness which no other animal on the planet has, and we are animals. And we keep wanting to live in our lower nature.
Yes.
And the fact is, we have this higher consciousness, and we have the responsibility to weigh that whatever choice we make has good and bad sides. Mm-hmm. And in each moment, we have a responsibility to decide how can we do it, use this thing for good. The next mm-hmm. moment, we might have to make a different decision about the same thing. But we want to live in our lower nature, which is like, you know, when the fox is over there, we can go to the water. Just like we want a simple decision.
Yeah. Very, very simple.
Well, you know, the fox might be hiding. It's not that simple. You don't see the fox. That don't mean the fox ain't there.
I had this great, a few years ago, I worked in Australia for almost 2 years, actually. And it was incredible. And I was very uneducated about the indigenous people of Australia and what that actually meant.
They were flora and fauna until like 1940. Flora yes. and fauna.
Yes. What was unbelievable was to really be immersed in that country and understand truly the magnitude of the indigenous people and being a part of that land there. And I actually, my husband and I, we were so the whole experience was life-changing, just being in Australia and being a Black man, not indigenous to the land there, but being a person of color in Australia, which is also a whole other thing than being gay. I mean, like, it's just like, it was like, they literally were like, whoa, wow, you're really different. Like, I mean, it was a whole interesting thing to imagine, right? And Disney putting you on the billboards of things. I'm like, yes. And I'm gay, and I'm actually a normal person too, right? So there's that. But like, it was this. We were so inspired. We went to the middle of the country. We went to Uluru. We visited Ayers Rock, where like the sacred land is for the indigenous people there, and it was unbelievable to see and hear about them in there still to this day in their tribe, in their land, in their enclosed area. In order to even see it, we had to be on a helicopter to sort of see, like, you know, how they live. And I just thought, wow, like, it was just so eye-opening to that. And so I'm just, it reminded me of you, what you're saying, what you're doing at the end of your movie, and acknowledging those people, like acknowledging what that is, because it's quite extreme and a forgotten, a whole forgotten group of people that I'm just like.
I just watched David Attenborough's documentary about life on the planet, which is extraordinary because he's been doing this for 70 years. And so he has video of visiting places in the world. And you know, what he made me think about is for over 10,000 years on the planet, human beings lived sustainably. And then a small percentage of us evolved to the place where we started thinking that the people who had managed to live for 10,000 years sustainably were savages, and we were going to bring civilization to them. And in the course of us doing that, we have taken the earth to the point of almost a sixth extinction in less than 2,000 years. Mm. And are supposedly elevating the savages who lived with the planet, we are bringing the planet on the verge of extinction. So who were the savages really?
Savages. Believe in human savages.
Savages. No, they.
But still, I cannot see if the savage one is me. How can there be so much that you don't know? Yes, honey. Poker for the win.
You don't know. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 2, 3, 4. Come run the hidden pine trails.
Can we do a two-person Pocahontas? We'll go through the whole movie together.
Can y'all do it right now? Can we close out with that?
What is the dig, diggity, dig? Like, I'm trying to think, like, what are all the songs?
Oh my! Well, don't you can't forget how. Oh my gosh!
Around the river bend.
Yes, river bend. Yes.
Around the river bend.
I look once more, just around the river bend.
Beyond the shore. Yes. Why? Why is that not a show? Disney?
I know. Should
you
I
care?
Choose the smoothest
You
course?
Care about diversity?
Steady
okay.
as the beating,
drum.
Should I marry
Coco?
It's all my
dreaming at an end.
Oh, do you still wish to?
Wow. I think we could probably really do this all day, but we're actually at time. This was such a lovely conversation. Thank you for joining us, Michael. Thank you for coming back, Carolina and Patrick. I love you.
Thank y'all for having me. It's so lovely to chat with just, you know, gorgeous, intelligent women. Like, why not? Ah. Like, that's fabulous. Women of color who are gorgeous and intelligent and not afraid to talk and in it and unapologetically themselves. So thank you all for that. That to me is beautiful, and I am inspired by that. And so excited about the movie and all of the things that you're doing, and it's beautiful. So I'm grateful and very, very thankful that you all had me on to chat.
Thank you.
And it's coming soon, right? Do we have a date?
Wear a mask. They save lives.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Sending love to you all. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.